Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. My name is Walker Wildman. The traditional host, Tim Wildman, will be in. My father will be in shortly. But we'll go ahead and get the show started because the show does not or cannot wait. Fred Jackson is in with us. Welcome,
yes.
Fred.
Good morning. The show must go on, I think is the phrase there.
There you have it. And Dr. Ray Pritchard.
Good morning, Walker. How are you?
Doing well. Good to have you on from Kansas City. How's the weather up in Kansas City?
Well, today the high is going to be 81, and tomorrow the high is going to be 44. So
wow. That's kind of how it's been here. We've been back and forth from the 80s to the 50s. So we're leaning into fall.
Yeah, it's coming. It's
yeah, this coming. Is probably my favorite time of the year just mm-hmm. because of the mild weather. And the leaves falling and things like that.
And not to mention the hunting, right, Walker?
Yes, the hunting plays an important part in this time of year.
Well, I'm here now. All right, are you talking about hunting season?
Yeah, we were talking about the weather outside.
About deer hunting season, right? Mm-hmm. So when does that start?
No, well, bow season has already started, but I don't bow hunt. Rifle season starts in November.
Okay. Well, birdie season, you can do it like 10, 11 months a year. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Golfing.
Ray, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. I do. And just before you came in, I said, here in Kansas City, today's your day to
today?
Golf. Today. It's 81 today is the high. Tomorrow, the high is 44.
Oh, wow. So a winter, in quotations, a winter blast, not really a winter blast, but a cold front coming through. Huh?
Yeah, and we've got snow coming in this weekend, so yeah.
You're not serious in Kansas City.
I am serious. Yeah.
So much for the global warming crowd there.
I'm telling you.
You're not going to hear from them for the next 4 months.
That's right.
Or so. All right, tonight, Fred, is what?
Tonight is debate night, and this is the final debate of this presidential election season. And it's supposed to have like 40, 50 million people watching. I've heard estimates of that.
Is that as many or more than last debate?
Well, last week was the town hall with President Trump with NBC and then Joe Biden with ABC. The first debate had a pretty good audience too, but I think this one will have even more because of the reaction from the first debate, you know, that President Trump didn't do a good job, some of the analysts say, and kept interrupting Joe Biden, although Joe Biden did a lot of interrupting too. So tonight, format's a little bit different because tonight you have a moderator, NBC's moderator, and then you have four other journalists, I believe it is, who are asking questions. This debate is occurring in Nashville at Belmont University. And tonight we're going to have a new feature as far as debate procedures go. Probably heard about this. There is going to be a technician backstage who has what's called a mute button. And so there are going to be about 5-6 different topics. Each candidate will be given 2 minutes off the top to give their response to a given topic. And during that period, a mute button will be in place on the microphone of the opposing candidate so that they cannot interrupt the one who's giving his 2-minute assessment of the given topic. Now, after that, both mics will be open and the two candidates can go after each other.
Okay, now, help me understand this. Okay, let's say that Joe Biden is asked a question.
Yes.
He has 2 minutes to respond?
Yes.
Okay. In the meantime, or at the same time, President Trump's microphone is muted.
Correct.
Okay. But what if one or the other goes over their 2 minutes? Is the mic turned off then?
Oh, that's what we're all watching for. How is that mute control technician, how is he going to handle things like that?
No, I think you set it automatically. You just set it automatically like a timer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is me, and it shuts off after 2 minutes. Otherwise, you're going to get into subjectivity,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to get into claims of bias one way or another and unfairness. So I hope they've got it set up, Walker.
Yeah, the candidates are going to have to be intentional about getting their statement in under 2 minutes, because you don't want your sentence to get interrupted by your mic getting cut off when you're trying to close your argument.
You think President Trump can do that?
I don't know. I don't know if either one of them can.
I hope he can
do it,
but I don't know if he's that
disciplined.
I don't know. And Biden too, but
yeah.
If I were Biden, Ray, and if I were Biden's team,
yeah,
I would just tell him, make your answer short and pithy. Let's get out of here without any major goof ups.
Look, I think this really helps President Trump, because it's going to do exactly what you just said. It's going to force Joe Biden to put 3 or 4 or 5 coherent sentences together. And I'm not saying he can't do that. I'm not sure he can do it for the full. What is it a 90-minute debate?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, I'm sure he'll do fine the first 30, 45 minutes, but I think he tailed off, even in that the deal, sort of that softball thing that he had a week ago. I thought he was tailing off toward the end. So I think this really helps the president, because people are going to hear Joe Biden and they're just going to go, how can this man ever be our president?
Yeah.
I think, Fred, what Walker's talking about, and we've talked about this from a viewer perspective of the debate tonight.
Mm-hmm.
The president needs to get through. If he only has 2 minutes, personally, I don't think that's enough time to answer these questions. I think you would need 3 minutes each at least. But anyway, that's not my rules. But I would say the president needs to get his answer in within a minute and 55 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. And it looks bad if you're still talking, and same with Biden too, it looks bad for him too. If either one of these guys are still talking when their mics are shut off, it just looks bad in a debate situation. But anyway,
wait a minute. Are you saying, maybe I misunderstood this, are you saying the mute button is hit at the 2 minute mark?
So yes.
That you have, okay. Oh, I misunderstood. I thought they were muting.
They'll be unmuted.
Okay. What I thought.
After 2 minutes.
In other words, while Joe Biden is speaking, Trump's
cannot
mic.
Speak.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's correct.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So each candidate gets a 2 minutes to answer this, should be the same question if the moderator is fair. It should be the exact same question for both candidates. And then after those both 2 minutes, so 4 minutes total, 2 minutes for each candidate, after those 4 minutes of responding, then both mics open up for a conversation for a few minutes.
Yes. Okay, Walker, let me ask you this. Okay, so we know they're going to go over 2 minutes, right? Politicians, they talk a lot, okay? Does this mean if Joe Biden goes over 2 minutes, or Mr. Trump, doesn't matter, that at the 2 minute mark the other mic is unmuted, so then they could talk over each other?
I think the moderator, that's why they have moderators. They have to signal to the whatever candidate it is, your 2 minutes is about
not going to work.
Yeah,
it's not going to work. No. Just like Mike Pence kept talking.
Yeah.
Right.
Huh? Mike right. Pence just went right on through the stop sign.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I love Mike Pence, and right. But so did Kamala
Harris.
Harris did too.
But they both did.
But Vice President Pence was unfazed by any call of him to your
care.
Time's up.
Right.
So it'll be the same. If it's left to the speakers, Biden and particularly Donald Trump, they are not going to stop.
No.
It's going to be interesting.
If it's left. So I say, to be fair, cut their mic off.
When you get 2 minutes.
Both of it's fair.
Oh,
for,
I see.
It's
sure.
fair.
Right.
It's fair for both people.
Right.
Okay. It's fair.
Okay.
For
you're
both.
You're saying that, let's say it's Joe Biden speaking, so you mute Mr. Trump's mic, but you're also saying then at the 2 minute mark, mute Biden's mic.
That's right. That's
okay.
right. In
so,
other words,
we can't,
that,
anybody,
that way
okay.
these guys don't keep going and going and going and ignoring the rules. That's what I'm saying. Now, I don't know. Fred, as we've described it, and we've been over this, there will be a test, by the way, in a few minutes for our listeners. We've been over these rules. Is that how the rules are going to be?
Those are the rules.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that's fair to everybody. Just cut off their mic when 2 minutes. You're going to have a whole lot of that on tonight.
That's the difficulty when you start throwing up these different rules and you're talking about cutting off mics. It just adds another layer of complication to the whole setup.
Yes and no. I think it's the only fair way to do it is if you're going to say, okay, be fair to both sides. Everybody knows the rules. Mm-hmm. You got 2 minutes. Answer if you know what I'm saying. Otherwise, you're going to get into, Mr. President, Mr. Biden. You know what I'm saying?
That's going to happen, Tim.
Well,
you know it.
And the other thing that's going to happen.
Oh, you think they're going to keep talking even though the mic cut off?
Yeah.
Probably.
The other thing that could happen is, and we saw this in the vice president debate, when Pence wasn't through with a thought, when he was asked another question, he used his time to complete the thought from the previous question. So I think that could happen also. That, you know, if President Trump has something else to say that he didn't get in, then even though he's asked a different question on another matter, he may use his time to get his points in.
8 o'clock Central tonight?
8 o'clock Central.
In Nashville?
In Nashville at Belmont University. We'll be there. We'll be updating our newscasts through the evening and updating One News Now.
I think the pressure is on President Trump, don't y'all?
Well, everybody is telling him, you know, like even Mike Huckabee was on, former governor of Arkansas, yesterday. Here's what he had to say. He said the president's got to do better than he did the first time. But, and here's another topic for to watch for tonight.
Yeah.
He is advising the president not to spend too much time on this Hunter Biden email controversy. According to Mike Huckabee and some other Republicans, that the American people aren't as interested in it as other people.
Yeah, that's garbage. Luntz is a Democrat now. I used to like Frank Luntz.
Well, no, this was Mike Huckabee.
This is Mike Huckabee.
Yeah.
Well, Frank Luntz said the same thing. Yeah. Frank Luntz tried to downplay the whole Biden selling out our country.
Governor Huckabee's not downplaying it. I think he's just saying President Trump doesn't need to get bogged down in this and maybe bring it up, but don't keep saying, all right, you know, keep making it.
Yeah, we don't need 90 minutes of
Hunter Biden's email.
No,
because even though that may be, you know, that's what President Trump is going to have to do is seem presidential, be presidential, and emphasize the economic strength of the country prior to COVID. He just needs to keep talking about that over and over again, seems to me, tonight. And don't get into a food fight like what happened last
year. Yeah, I think there has to be a balance here because I think the Joe Biden scandal is with China and Ukraine doesn't need to go unmentioned the entire night.
I agree.
So at some point, however President Trump needs to bring it in, I think it needs to be brought in for at least 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
I agree with that. You know what would be good, Fred, is the president needs to let this go and get about halfway through the debate. And then if it hasn't been asked of Joe Biden about do you make money off your son's business relationships? Because you're mentioned in an email from him that you're the big guy in the business deal. Are you the big guy? Now, if that isn't asked, President Trump would score points, I think, by saying, you know what, we've been going an hour now, and nobody's asked about the elephant in the room, all right? And I'm going to ask it now. Then let the moderators, they're probably heads are going to spin off their head, heads are going to spin off their shoulders because they're going to be like, can't bring that up. You can't bring that up. But I wouldn't bring it up right off the bat, and I wouldn't keep on and on and on about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the pressure is on President Trump because he needs to do the – it's a tight race, all right? He's behind in the polls in many of the swing states by anywhere from 2 to 5 points, I guess, mostly, maybe 7 in Wisconsin or Michigan, maybe even a little bit more. So those are the polls, the Real Clear Politics average. So he needs to have a good closing argument with the American people on why he needs to be reelected.
Yeah.
Because very few people have not made up their mind, but there's probably enough to matter if 1 or 2 or 3 percentage points.
You know, I think, to your point, I like the idea of waiting until maybe 45 to 60 yeah. minutes into the 90-minute debate to even touch the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden scandal, because that gives the moderator time to either bring it up or totally ignore it.
Yes.
And then that itself will be an issue. So, yeah, I would not go out of the gate to the Hunter Joe Biden scandal.
I wouldn't be surprised, Fred, if they didn't bring it up, one of the moderators didn't bring it up to try to scoop the president, so to speak, on the, as you use a reporter's terminology, and then frame it in such a way that Biden answers it, but doesn't answer it. Mm-hmm. And he's going to say this is just slime from Rudy Giuliani, and mm-hmm. I'm not going to spend time. People don't care about my son's business dealings, and a lot of this is just. You know, whatever he wants to call it. No, it's, and he can say, and so, and then what you do is that, and then the president will bring it up again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Different from the way the reporter posed the question tonight. I'm just speculating here on what's likely to happen. And then, Joe Biden's going to say, I already answered that. It's cheap shots from Trump campaign. I'm ready for the next question.
Yeah.
See how that's going to work?
Oh, yeah. And this morning there was a new spin put on this. I was watching an interview on Fox with the former mayor of Baltimore, Maryland, who is obviously a Democrat and a supporter of Biden. The new spin on this is that this is all part of the Russian effort to interfere in our election. Somehow they got together with Rudy Giuliani, and this person tore into Fox for even covering the story. Because this is the other scandal in this scandal. The other scandal is the mainstream media is staying away from it. And to that point, I want you to have a listen to former Twitter executive Peter Greenberger, who is defending muting Trump, not allowing this story out there. It's cut number one.
I believe that the tech companies generally have a responsibility to be neutral. I think in the case of Twitter specifically, it has been a great champion of the democratization of information as well as a strong supporter of freedom of expression. However, we are in a unique and I believe a fraught moment in time with a president who is desperate and he's facing a very difficult situation. I think the time is to mute the president temporarily while votes are being cast right now and until the winner is decided.
That is shocking.
Who is that?
This is a former Twitter executive, Peter Greenberger.
Wow, that sounds like something you hear in communist China or some dictatorship around the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mute him.
Wow, I can't believe he was come out. Somebody would come out openly, like in favor of censorship.
Yeah, that's
a major president.
That's very upfront, if you will, because in comparison, Twitter and Facebook have both said, or at least Facebook, that once the polls close on election night, that they are going to block anyone from declaring a winner for until. I guess Facebook
Biden
determines.
Wins.
Yeah.
Right. Until Biden
until
wins.
Facebook determines that there's a valid right. winner. So that
you know,
wouldn't surprise me if they cut off the Trump campaign Twitter for a day or two until there's a winner.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm Tim with Walker, Ray, and Fred. We thank you for listening to AFR. If you want to join us on the internet, go to Facebook and YouTube. Facebook or YouTube, we live video stream the show there. just type in today's issues. Just to quickly frame the reframe the topic about Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, so people clearly understand this is not dirty pool, as does happen frequently in politics, or have you dirty tricks, I guess you could say. And certainly Republicans and Democrats are like, are capable of playing dirty tricks. Just so you understand, folks, and most of you do, what you have here is a Hunter Biden left his son of Vice President Biden. He has had a long history of drug problems, drug addiction, and I don't know if this was related to this, but it may explain it. He took his laptop in Delaware to be repaired. His laptop, this is, how long ago? It was a couple years ago or so?
This was in 2019, like okay. In April or February.
He never came back to get his laptop, which is inexplicable outside of some kind of thing that would make you forget, whatever that may be. And so this fella who owned the laptop who repair shop legally can take possession of this computer if the owner doesn't come back to pick it up. Mm-hmm. So the guy opens it up and is reading emails and I guess pictures and so forth and realizes he's got sensitive information here that may be involved the law. So he gives it over to the FBI, right? And I guess he makes copies for Rudy Giuliani. The guy is a Trump supporter. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking that Rudolph Giuliani waited a year, and the FBI did nothing with this, and he decided, well, I'm going to make this public because the American people need to know what's going on here before the election. Y'all tracking with me so
yeah.
far?
Mm-hmm.
So now in the emails on the laptop are discussions of multi-million dollar, in some cases billion dollar, business deals that Hunter Biden is doing around the world, right? Particularly in the Ukraine and China. And he went with his dad on Air Force Two on a meeting in China. You remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
And that was really no, I mean, I guess a son of a VP can go on Air Force Two, but evidently he went over there to discuss business deals with some Chinese folks.
Right.
So there is an email, one particular email that talks about these millions of dollars being exchanged that would ultimately go part of it to Vice President Joe Biden himself. He's referred to in the email as the big guy. So if, in fact, you have the China money going in the pocket of Joe Biden as he is vice president or when he leaves office, then that compromises his position as potentially as president of the United States because he has financially gained from China on a personal level.
Right.
So that is why this is not just dirty politics or dirty pool. That is why these questions about what I've just described do need to be addressed. But the media and the big tech companies don't want these issues I just brought up to be even questioned of Joe Biden because it potentially could hurt him. And the main thing they want to do is get Donald Trump out. That's why this guy from Twitter right there, you just heard, this former executive from Twitter, is for shutting down the voice of the president on this matter and others because they desperately need Joe Biden to win. We'll be back momentarily.
On the next Today's Issues.
We appreciate hearing from you. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net.
I pastor a small church, so I have to have a full-time job on the side. When I try to feed the flock, y'all feed me, and I thank God for y'all.
If you want to watch the show live, you can go to Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues. And you can also access the stories that we talk about.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, we've announced our dates for our Spiritual Heritage Tours for 2021. We'll be going in June and we'll be going in September. And folks are already signing up for these wonderful Christian heritage experiences. Now, we're going to be going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. Wow, the history there is phenomenal. You're going to see so much when we visit those three sites. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. and George Washington's Mount Vernon. These are two separate tours, but they're back-to-back in case you want to do both of them. So again, those are in June and September 2021. People are already signing up. So if you want to be a part of these, the information is available to you at spiritualheritagetours.com. SpiritualHeritageTours.com. Everything's there.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Feeling stuck? At Liberty University, we know you've waited long enough to move forward. So we're making sure the resilient career you want is closer than you think. Choose from more than 450 degrees, 100% online, for one of the lowest tuition rates in the nation. We've kept it the same for 5 years and counting, and we'll give you college credit for your life experience so you can save time and money. Stop feeling stuck and start moving toward the future you want with a school you can trust. Learn more by texting degree to 49595. That's degree to 49595.
There's a full-scale uprising within the ranks of the University of Texas Marching Band. The Longhorns refuse to play The Eyes of Texas, the school's beloved anthem for the past 120 years. The Black Lives Matter crowd says the song was originally part of a minstrel show performed in blackface, but that was in 1903, not 2020. So it's beyond me why the marching band has their piccolos in a twist here, folks. Since the start of the season, a recording of the song has played over the public address system, but the marching band can't muster enough musicians to play. Well, it seems to me the grown-ups in charge of the University of Texas have a decision to make. Either let the kids march to their own drumbeat or revoke every last marching band scholarship. Be sure to listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern and download my free podcast at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back. Pardon me. Welcome back to the program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim with Walker, Fred, and Ray. And thank you for listening. Should you want to send us an email, you can use this address, comments at afr.net, comments at afr.net. Jan Markell joins us most Thursdays during this time slot. She is the president, founder of Olive Tree Ministries and the host of the radio program Understanding the Times, heard each weekend here on AFR, Saturdays at 1 o'clock Central Time and Sundays at noon Central Time. Jan, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Hey, the presidential race, when last we talked to you, you said, I guess Biden is favored to win, but it's maybe a close race in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, very close. Yeah, I mean, outstate Minnesota is all Trump, and I'm told. I mean, it's hard for me to get out there, but I'm told that it's just strong support for the president. We've got liberals within Twin Cities area, which remain blue, Democrat. Parts of northern Minnesota, Duluth, perhaps that area, blue. But, you know, we've got seven Iron Range mayors. Now, your listeners may not know what the Iron Range is, but it's solidly Democrat for 100-120 years, where they produce all the iron ore that goes to the steel mills, and it's always been, well, ragingly Democrat, and those seven Iron Range mayors have all spoken up for President Trump, because they saw jobs come back here in the last 4 years that they lost previously, so this is a different state because of Donald Trump. Politically, it's a different state.
Fred?
You know, I want to play something for Jan because it involves a gentleman who is went to a barber shop just outside of Minneapolis recently. And he talked to the barber about the election, just having a conversation. And the barber had a very interesting story. It's cut number 7.
I was outside of Minneapolis, about 20 minutes out, getting my hair cut. And I just kind of talked to everyone around the country when I'm traveling about what they think about the polls, how COVID's affected them. And I asked if anyone had been given a poll. And the barber spoke up and said he and his wife had been called by pollsters, and they lied. And they said that they were voting for Joe Biden because just down the road, there were a lot of riots, not just in Minneapolis, but in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And they were afraid not just for maybe being targeted by folks who are violent, but also people who would target their business for them being Trump supporters.
Jan, I was shocked to hear that, but maybe there's a whole lot of that going on, not only in Minneapolis, but in other parts of the country.
I think that, the wild card this year, and it's been tragic, has been the violence that's been going on. And whoever thought it would have hit the heartland, Minnesota, Wisconsin particularly, and particularly Kenosha. But again, speaking of Minneapolis and St. Paul, again, 5 miles, and I've said this to you gentlemen before on air, 5 miles of Minneapolis is burned to the ground. And that's not five blocks. That's 5 miles is burned to the ground, and it'll never come back. And it's a great big business section of Minneapolis, so it's not, just some scraggly little inner city area. I mean, it's many, many businesses, credible businesses, stable businesses are probably gone forever. Our police precinct in that district, I can't remember, a third precinct, I think, burned to the ground. This is in May. And from there, this skipped all across the country. So, and insiders tell me that post-election, no matter how it goes, Twin Cities is once again a target. And that's partly because this part of the country is just targeted by radicals, communists, et cetera, and we have the Islam factor here. So I just think this is going to make this election different this year because there are good people who are nervous about this coming to their hometown.
I have another question for Jan, if I can
squeeze.
Jan, I'm always surprised by this, but particularly this election cycle. President Trump has done more for the Jewish people, for Israel, than any other president in years, Republican or Democrat. Yet, there was a poll that came out last week that said 70-plus percent of the Jews in this country were going to vote for Joe Biden. Can you explain why that would be when you have such a pro-Israel president, why such a high percentage would still vote for the Democrats?
I'm going to do it real briefly. I mean, I could expand it, but I won't. But in brief, Fred, and I mean, it's a great question, and we get it here a lot. Number one, Jews are taught to champion the underprivileged, and they perceive minorities as underprivileged, and they perceive the Democrat Party as the solution. We all know they're not the solution; they're the problem. The Democrat Party will enable them, et cetera, and then they don't. Better themselves, so to speak, because they're depending on the government. Government becomes God. Okay, and that's just one. And believe me, I have Jews as relatives, so I'm speaking from experience here. I would say, secondly, a lot of Jews now would be their parents and grandparents came from socialist countries. So the parents and grandparents, all they knew was socialism. They brought that to America, and as a result, they think socialism is okay. I mean, those are two huge points. And I think the third factor I'll raise, there are others, but I'll probably stop here, is I think we need to remember that Romans 9, 10, 11 suggests that the Jews have been blinded. Now, does that mean politically? We know many are blinded spiritually. That's biblical. Could that drift over into just things like we're talking about? I think it's possible, but Israel is going to come to salvation. That's in the tribulation, and many of the remnant members of Jewish community are coming to salvation. Many in my family came to faith, and they see everything as you and I would. But evangelicals gravitate to biblical worldview values, but Jews tend to gravitate to the things we're talking about, and that would be Democrat values. But I'll tell you, for instance, even in Minnesota, getting back to that, it's changing again because of all these external circumstances that have gone on in 2020.
Jan, what's coming up on your program this weekend?
Well, we'll talk about some of these issues this weekend. My next two programs are going to be pretty heavily election-related, as the last two were. But, you know, this is a turning point in our country, gentlemen, and I thank you for what you're doing, because we just got to keep this before the people.
All right, Jan, thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye-bye. That's Jan Markell joining us from the Twin Cities in Minnesota. By the way, I did see this off the Fox News website about the rules for the debate tonight. It says each candidate is afforded 2 uninterrupted minutes to speak at the beginning of each 15-minute segment, and the microphone for the candidate who is not speaking during that time will be muted. Both candidates' mics will be open for the rest of each segment, allowing candidates to interject as they go back and forth on the issues. So, does that help clarify things for you there, Ray?
Yeah, and I guess this goes back to the point we were talking about earlier then, Tim. It would be in both candidates' advantage, I think, if they then, let's say you give Mr. Trump 2 minutes, he would be advised, and so Mr. Biden the same way, finish at 1:55, right? Finish before the 2 minutes is up, because they're going to unmute the other guy, and then it's a free-for-all. So if you want to get your thought out, get it out in less than 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Walker?
Yeah, I think that's debate discipline, so they have to do it. And you got to get what you want in 2 minutes. And
Another thing here, Fred, that I think the president needs to – and Vice President Biden is himself sometimes has scattered thoughts and inarticulate. We all can be like this. Very few of us are completely disciplined to where, but you're trained in debate. Ed can tell you. Ed was on the debate club in his college, I think. You're trained on how to, not only the information you have to process and get out, but how to do it in an articulate manner. And what the president's going to have to try to avoid, because he has so much he wants to say, that he will be talking about something, and then mid-sentence, he'll switch over to another topic because he feels the need to get that in there, too. You know, you've been in that, you know, that situation. So hopefully he'll be concise and clear and won't let that happen to him as it happened to him in the last debate some.
I think another aspect to watch tonight, and certainly we see evidence of this a lot, the president is going to be facing 6 opponents tonight.
Name them.
Joe Biden and the moderator and the other 4, I believe it is, people. We have seen hostility from the alleged moderators like we've never seen before against a political candidate. I mean, it's been absolutely amazing. To that point, the president apparently walked away from a 60 Minutes taped interview the other day with Leslie Stahl because he said, you know, she was making accusations, not asking questions. And I think you're going to see that again tonight. Joe Concha is a media reporter with Fox. And he related this morning a couple of things that Leslie Stahl at CBS, who the president did the interview with the other day, that show her complete bias against Republicans and President Trump. It's cut number 6.
I went back and looked. I wanted to see, okay, is Leslie Stahl actually biased? So I looked at some interviews that she's given to other publications. In this case, 2018 Nantucket Magazine. She's asked first, quote, do you believe there is liberal bias in the media? Her conclusion after trashing Fox News, which had nothing to do with the actual question, she said, quote, I don't think that when you look at the New York Times, Washington Post, CBS News, and so forth, that there's a liberal bias. That's interesting because, you know, the New York Times hasn't endorsed a Republican presidential candidate in the last 16 elections. You got to go back 64 years. The Washington Post has never endorsed a GOP presidential candidate in its history. So just around the whole, you know, is the New York Times and Washington Post bias. I always go to those two markers as far as that's concerned. She's then asked in the same interview, can you think of anything positive about the Trump presidency? She responds, quote, I still can't believe Trump won. He couldn't believe it. He said he knew all along, but he didn't. His body language showed he was kind of in shock 3 days after. So now she's a body language expert. She goes on to say he's becoming a one-man band in terms of policy. How's he doing this? He's changing the system. I'm amazed. Really, I'm amazed, and not in a flattering way. Yeah, she has no animus towards the president, guys.
And this is what the president will face tonight. We saw what happened last week at the town hall. With the NBC's, is it Guthrie, I think it was.
Yes, Savannah Guthrie.
She took up 25 minutes of a one-hour town hall, which, you know, it was supposed to be questions from the audience. She took up 25 minutes herself. And even when people would ask questions from the audience, she inserted herself into it and became judge and jury of what was true and what was false.
Yeah, I don't know who in the White House said it's a good idea to sit down with 60 minutes or... Really sit down with probably over half of the media outlets.
I mean, yes, yeah.
It's a waste of time, and President Trump gets frustrated about it. Well, his White House communications team thought it was a good idea to sit down with him. So, you know, this is one of those things where if you're going to do interviews with hostile media players, then when they're hostile, you need to expect it. You need to be prepared for it.
Yeah.
Or just don't do the interviews. Mm-hmm. And same thing with the White House press briefings. And I know the White House has virtually eliminated those and President Trump's basically his own White House communications director.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine because they decided the White House weighed out the pros and cons to those press briefings and there was way more negatives.
48 minutes, I think he sat down with Leslie Stahl, mm-hmm. but he refused to do the video walk by with Vice President Pence mm-hmm. near the White House that you see, which accompanies a profile on 60 Minutes or other news shows too. I don't know why he chose to do that. Although. You know, president's trying to get his message out to as many people as possible, not just the Fox News viewers. So he needs to get out to, you know, other outlets. I think that's probably the reason he chose to do that. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, as opposed to Vice President Biden, former Vice President Biden, who's not wanting to do any lengthy interviews at all. I don't even think, Ray, that the Biden team or the Democrats, their game plan is to keep Vice President Biden away from the press as much as possible, with the exception being the debates. Hopefully, he'll get some friendly questions tonight, or at least not stumble too bad. And then just after tonight, I don't see the Vice President getting out of his home. Till election night.
If they think they're in the lead, and I suppose that's what they think, then, Tim, all they got to do, this is like, 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter? Run out the clock, right?
Yeah.
And make the vote about Donald Trump. To me, it is a stark difference. When you see Mr. Trump go to Gastonia, North Carolina, where he was, I guess, last night, and then before that, Erie, Pennsylvania, and these – not just enormous crowds in places like North Carolina and Pennsylvania, but out there in Arizona and even in California, vast crowds, tens of thousands of people coming out to hear him. Then you see, you know, Biden or Kamala Harris, and they've got, 10 people, 15 people? To me, doesn't that say something about a huge enthusiasm gap between the Democratic ticket and the Republicans?
Yeah, it does, Ray, and I don't, you know, when Vice President Biden is getting, as we mentioned, you know, 10 to 15 people at an event, I don't think you can even call it a rally. It's just an event. so you're influencing 15 people in states that have millions of people. You know, there's no benefit really to him doing these events unless he's trying to get media coverage and get his message out on like news reports at night or something. But, you know, President Trump's going to rallies with 30,000 people in a county that's very influential within a state. President Trump's trying to turn out voters. So I think the Biden campaign has weighed out that there's more risk than there is potential reward with him continuing to go out on the campaign trail.
I think their strategy seems, they say they're flush with money, the Democrats, and they're spending a lot of money on advertising. So they feel safer keeping Biden in his basement and let the ads do the talking for them, these recorded ads. Oh. I think that seems to be the strategy, at least in the last 2 weeks of the campaign.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm no political strategist, but to use a sports analogy that Ray was talking about earlier, I think it's smart on the part of the Biden campaign to keep him out of the limelight as much as possible, or at least in person, keep him away from being asked tough questions from the media. Not that they ask very many. The media, the vast majority of them vote Democrat, so they're cheering the Biden campaign, and they wouldn't want to hurt him, although they sometimes have to ask questions because it would be conspicuous by the absence if they didn't. So you have had a couple questions asked to him, I think, by CBS News about what he's going to do about packing the courts. Another one of the reporters asked him about his son's email business deals, and he said, "What? That's what do you call it?
Smear campaign."
Hmm.
Yeah, so this is looking.
I would keep him off the campaign trail. I really would.
Yeah, to me that is the we got somebody wanting to be in the Oval Office to run the country, and we can't get him on the campaign trail. You know, this is telling. And this, remember Hillary Clinton? What was it, Minnesota? She didn't go to the last
Michigan.
She didn't go to.
Well, they thought they had that one won.
Yeah, the closing weeks of the campaign, she didn't even touch it. And Biden's not just that he's not going to Michigan, he's not going anywhere. he's in a solid blue state, Delaware, at his home, not even visiting Florida or North Carolina.
But don't you understand tactically why you would do that if you were the Biden handlers? You want to.
If he's that bad off that he can't do campaign stops, yes, that is a smart strategy.
Well, isn't part of it also, they must believe the polls. That is, the mainstream polls. They must believe
They think they
that.
Have this thing locked.
Yes.
I get
so
it.
Why,
yeah.
It's kind of like, why do you want to risk, if you're ahead and they believe they are, okay, then why don't you just have the quarterback take a knee for the last 2 minutes of the game instead of trying to throw a pass when you're ahead by 14 or 7 and risk an interception return for a touchdown. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Use a sports analogy.
Wait, so. And you know what's also interesting here? You've got Kamala Harris, and nobody has said anything that, you know, that she's not able to get out there. But when she does go, first of all, she's not doing too many events. When she does, they're about as big as the Joe Biden events, 10 or 15 people. And she's not doing very many TV ads either. So that's they must believe, okay, to go back to the football thing, Tim, they must believe they've got 5 minutes left and they're up by 17 points or something.
Yeah, both strategies have their pros and cons and their risk when it comes to winning or losing. I just think we possibly could be sitting here 4 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now going, man, Biden didn't hit a swing state the last month of the election.
Right, yeah.
And
yeah, I know, that's a risk.
That's what Hillary Clinton's campaign, in hindsight, probably regretted.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Fred.
Yes. Well, about 2 hours ago, the Senate Judiciary Committee voted out Amy Coney Barrett, and she will go to a full Senate vote on Monday. It was an interesting scene at the Judiciary Committee this morning. Not one Democrat showed up. Not one. The Democrats, what they did was...
Were they going to a Biden rally? Where were they?
All they did was put pictures. If you were watching the hearings last week, the Democrats showed up with these pictures of people they said would be negatively impacted by getting rid of Obamacare. So they put pictures of these individuals in their chairs this morning, but they didn't show up. Anyway, the Senate Judiciary Committee chairman, Senator Lindsey Graham, made the announcement. This is what it sounded like. Cut number 10.
The nomination will be reported favorably to the floor with a unanimous vote. It's moments like this that make everything you go through matter. It's moments like this where you can tell young conservative women there's a place at the table for you. This is a groundbreaking, historic moment for American legal community and really politically. I've been here a while and I've never seen anyone more capable than Judge Barrett on the law.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says they'll probably also boycott the vote on Monday. Now, what's going to happen this weekend is that the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is going to have the Senate in session all weekend to go through the procedural things that'll be attempted. But come Monday, you'll probably see just Republicans that'll be there. It's interesting. Senator Kennedy of Louisiana, Republican Senator of Louisiana, was asked all about this morning, and in particular, Chuck Schumer's attitude. Cut number 9. Have a listen.
We're prepared for every eventuality. Look,
you have arrows in your quiver?
Oh, yes. We've got knives, arrows, and he does too. And on the one hand, I mean, Senator Schumer's doing his job. On the other hand, I say this gently as well, right now Chuck's kind of like a teenager. He's mad at everybody. We're going to confirm Judge Barrett. And Senator Schumer needs to fill out a hurt feelings report, and let's move on.
He has a way with
That's
words,
good.
Doesn't he?
Hurt feelings report. That's hysterical. All right. Well, so Judge Barrett will soon become Justice Barrett.
As of Monday is the way it's scheduled.
Oh, really?
Right now.
As of Monday, she'll be sworn in?
Well, Monday she'll get the vote out of the Senate. If it's anything like the past, they don't waste any time swearing her into the court.
She'll be sworn in on Tuesday then, I guess.
It could be.
The Supreme Court is hearing cases right now, I think. They usually do in October.
Yes.
And they're putting down rulings that affect this upcoming election. So the sooner we get her on the court, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Quick question, Fred. Are we expecting any Republican defections, senators who won't vote for Barrett?
Well, from the get-go, Senator Collins of Maine and Murkowski of Alaska, those are the two. But everybody else, Mitt Romney, the others that kind of have had a sour attitude towards the president, it seems everybody else is on board.
Okay.
Well, Mitt Romney said he didn't vote for President Trump.
Yes.
He's already voted. Did you see that?
Who did he vote for? He didn't vote for Biden.
I thought that was about 2016.
I think so.
He didn't say who he voted for, as far as I know. He just said he didn't vote for President Trump. So I thought that was...
That's unbelievable. Oh,
yeah, because man. I mean, the alternative is a radical socialist agenda.
But didn't Romney vote for Trump's impeachment at the beginning of the year?
He did. Now, and he's going to vote for Barrett.
Right.
Yes.
So the whole world is turned upside down.
Yeah. I don't know who he voted for. He didn't say. All right. Thank you, Fred.
You are welcome.
You're listening to Today's Issues. Thank you for joining us this hour. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Steve Jordahl will tag team with Fred there, and Ray Walker and yours truly will be back. So stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.